Wisdom offers everything on the good side, while the woman of folly offers everything on the bad side. In verses 4 through 11, where it says wisdom speaks, 4 through 11. Wisdom says there, my mouth utters truths, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. When you get to the fork in the road on that high place, when you go down the road to wisdom, she offers you everything that sounds, that is true and sounds beautiful and holy and godly. When you take the fool side, when the adulterous woman side, everything she offers is wicked and sinful. It goes on to say there, it's the utterance of my mouth is righteousness. There it is. There's nothing crooked or perverted like the foolish woman who goes out to try to entice someone offers. She is straightforward. Wisdom is straightforward and gives you true understanding, true knowledge. While the woman who is a fool, who is out there being an adulteress, is offering you things that are not straightforward, they are lies, they are deceptions. She offers for you something, wisdom offers for you something that is better than any gold, any silver, or any precious metal that you could ever have. And yet the foolish person, woman over here, is offering you trinkets for this and trinkets for that, and gold this and silver that and opal this and everything else in the world. But fine cotton, Egyptian cotton, the best of the best. One is totally worldly and totally godly, and the other is totally righteous and totally eternal. Well, going on, it says in verse 15, chapter 8, verse 15. Hang on here. In fact, Mr. Gormley, I'm going to stir you up just a little bit here for good. Here we go, because he thinks about this type of stuff a lot. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princesses rule and nobles. All who judge rightly. That's what wisdom says. Now, I want you to understand that all what she's saying here is all righteous rulers govern under the guidance of wisdom. Because this is Proverbs, we have to think of the converse side of it also. That is not to say that all rulers rule under all rulers who rule are ruling under God's wisdom. Evil rulers of this world rule with deceit and lies. Godly rulers rule and decree with truth and righteousness. Evil rulers rule with deceit and lies. If your ruler is righteous, then he is guided by this same woman of wisdom that's in the Lord that we're talking about. But if your ruler is wicked, he knows nothing of this wisdom. He knows nothing of this God, and she does not live with inside of him, and he will rule with deceit and with lies. I don't want to give the example you gave last week. It will stir somebody up even more. I told you we were headed this way. I tell you what, let's just give that example. What was the example?
Like your doctor.
Example. That is it. That is a good example. You hear it? If your government, every time you turn around, you hear lies and deceit coming from them, even to point wherever the government is putting something before a court of law and the judge comes back and says to the attorney for the government, you have lied to me, you have deceived me, and I bought it. You know what kind of government we are dealing with today. And under God's grace and by our petitions and prayers, it is my prayer that I am going, and I am petitioning him, that the next government we have in place will be a government that is righteous. And I am not telling you what party to vote for, because we've got righteous people on both parties, sides. Every time we turn around, those who are on the conservative side have someone else who is a liar and a deceiver. Every time we turn around, we have somebody on the other side who is a liar and deceiver. I don't care who gets there. I care that they are righteous. And I care that they are not a fool and are not stiff-necked and stubborn and senseless. That's what I care about.
Check their backgrounds.
Well, wisdom goes on to say this. Have I offended somebody yet? If I haven't, you need to go out and come back in, because I will before long. I've offended myself, folks. You understand this? I'm preaching to me on this, because we are not being vocal enough about the deceptions and things that are going on in this world. And we need to write our letters. We need to write, and I'm going to tell you another one. We need to write that mayor in Irving, Texas, a thank you letter, because she and her council was brave enough to say Sharia law will not override the constitutional laws of the state of Texas whenever they want to. I don't care. I do not care what it takes, but we are under different laws than Sharia law. And when a Muslim says, if I have to choose between the state of Texas laws and the Sharia law, I will choose Sharia law, that person is out of law and illegal in this state. And a person who operates by Sharia law in the state of Texas should be arrested and should go to court and should stand for having a law that is different than what we have. Okay? So we should write her letters. Y'all get on that? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, I understand. Those are stock letters. It does not matter. If you send them thank you letters for things they do right, and don't send them things on things they do wrong, they will get the word. Yes, ma'am. She's the mayor of Irving, Texas. The mayor of Irving. And all you have to say is thank you for your stand on this. Send Judge, what's his name, Hansen? Hannon. Send Judge Hannon. By the way, that's right. By the way, Brownsville, Judge Hannon was a graduate of South Texas Law. When he was here, his whole intent was to be a judge. And therefore, he was dead set on learning all of what we call case law, case law, case law, case law. Now, I'm telling you, have I got any lawyers in here? Okay, good. They are all missing today. So I will say this to them over lunch. Lawyers are like everybody else. They become obsolete. They don't keep up with the changes in the law, and they're not as sharp always as they once were when they came right out of school. Therefore, they have to. It's a constant thing keeping up. This judge down there who's handling this case, he has always been the one. Everybody knew it. Everybody's voted for him out of the South Texas Law School because they knew he was headed to be a judge, and that's where he was going, because he knew everything so well. What has happened is America has now had a case put in his court that they do not know how to handle this guy. They do not know how to handle this guy because he knows his stuff. And so we'll see what happens. She says here in verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find him. Every person of every class, no matter where you are within those from the top to the bottom of the class, and we all fall someplace in between. If we diligently seek her, she will love us and we will love her. And what does that mean? Sadly, this translation is not quite accurate. And you say, how do I know it's not quite accurate? Because listen to me and hear me out on this. I believe that the Bible is the divine, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God in the originals. We have translated into English. That means somebody on a committee has had to make a judgment call on what the English word should be. Therefore, in our wisdom of counsel that comes to us from God, we do have the Hebrew, we do have the Septuagint Greek Old Testament that was translated in 250 BC by Jews who were translated into Greek. So they oversaw that very carefully. And then we have the Syriac, we have the Arabian, for better word. We have about 16 different translations from back in those period of times, which we need to go back and always check. When something comes up and it just doesn't really quite gel right, we go back and we get an English translation of the Septuagint, which is Greek, and see, does it match the Hebrew? And lo and behold, in this case, this English got changed somewhere, because in the Tanakh, which is the Jewish Bible, which is nothing more than our Old Testament, and in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew Old Testament, it says it a little different. It says it like this: those who diligently seek me early will find me. Now, how that got changed up there in English, because that's just much better. It got changed along the way, probably because of the Rasmus text or something like that. It got changed, and boy, that just opens up. What it's saying here, the earlier you can start training your child to seek wisdom and knowledge and discretion in things, the better. The better. It's not talking about your years of life. It's talking about when. And we've all been burned as kids. We all learned as kids. Some of us set in our personalities things when we were kids that we are still fighting every day. All of us found our sin when we were kids. All of you have a sin that even though the Lord has forgiven you and you've accepted Him as your Savior and He's changed you, put you in a new direction of life, that old sin that was your major sin is still going to hang around and come out every once in a while and tempt you. See, are you really? You'll never lose your salvation. No, but that sin will still look at you and you'll still have that fleeting thought to take you right back to it. We all do. Even Paul did. Romans chapter 7. He's saved. He's writing. He says, I did this, but I wanted to do that. I did this, but I wanted to do that. I shouldn't have done this, but I did it anyway. I knew better than doing that. That's my translation, but that's what he's saying. Here he is, a saved man, writing to the Roman church, and he's still got that one big sin back there in his life that he knows, and every once in a while, he takes that path over to folly, and he has to back up and get out of it. Even after your salvation, you have to do that. All of us do, no matter how old we are. No matter how old we are, we have to back out of that. And the problem is you can watch Fox News all you want, or MSNBC, or CNN, and you're fixing to get flashed in front of you something that's going to remind you of that sin. And you need to back out of that road and switch that channel. And if that channel happens to do that at every single moment of the day, there's a point in time where you have to turn it off. No matter how much you love what they're trying to say, if the images and the words are not godly, you have to turn them off. Famous talk radio host that I used to listen to many, many years ago, I finally just had to turn him off because he agitated my family life. I would go home and be so agitated by what he said to me, it would just spew over into what I had to say to my wife later on. And some of that stuff is just not good. Just not good. Guard your eyes, guard your mind, guard your ears. Do it. Dwell with prudence. Love wisdom, and she will love you. Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, and even pure gold, and my yield than choicest silver. Oh, did I back up on that? Is that the same thing? No, I forgot. I've already taught this lesson once. That's what my problem is. I already taught it once. I thought, did I say that to y'all a while ago? Kinda. Verse 20 says, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Wisdom is not promising here that those who she dwells with is going to be wealthy in terms of gold and silver or anything else. But I will tell you this from a practical observation. Those people who seek out wisdom and understanding and discernment are those who God always provides enough for their life. Always provides enough. I am so reminded of Bertie and Earl Havens. What a wonderful couple they were. I had just left high school. In fact, I was in the middle of my high school year. It was January of my high school year, January the 20th of 1974, when I went out to Temple Baptist Church in Longview, Texas, to lead a service, and they voted me to be their minister of music, youth, janitor, adults, singles, adults, everything, okay? You know how it was. And I went from working honeybees and throwing the largest newspaper route in Waxahachie, of which I was pulling down about $175 a month in 1974 as a senior in high school working after. That's a lot of money back then. That was a lot of money. To making $50 a month being this part-time music guy. And I am still in school, so therefore every Friday afternoon I would leave and drive 2.5 hours to Longview to be with the kids and do kids things the Friday night and Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday night I'd drive home, be back up to be out at the band field by 5:30 in the morning to be marching practice and concert practice, because band was before school. And then lo and behold, on Wednesdays I would get out of school and I'd drive back to Longview, do worship, do choir rehearsal, 9 to 9:30, drive back home. That's what I did for the last. And now I'm only making $50 a month. And so my budget on gas, you've heard my story. I learned how to stop at the Piggly Wiggly and look for quarters because gas was 25 cents a gallon. I mean, I could, you know, take 4 or 5 quarters to get enough gas to get me home in my little Triumph TR3 sports car and all that type of stuff. I understand that. And I understand that I was starving. Well, when I finally moved out there, they had figured out I was starving too. And Earl and Bertie Havens, they came up to me and they said, now, Jimmy, we're going to fix lunch for you on Sunday and supper for you on Sunday. And we're going to fix lunch and or supper for you every day of the week. And you must come by our house or we are going to be offended. And they were. When I skipped the first week, they came looking for me. And Earl said, you don't want to get Bertie upset. And she fixed food for you and you better be there. We need your schedule and we need to know how long it's going to take for you to show up. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. They were protecting me. You realize that? Here I'm in college. You know what college kids do when you get out of school? You go get into mischief. Not me. I had to go to Bertie's house. I go to Bertie's house. We eat. We sit. We talk and all that kind of stuff. Monday had a menu. Tuesday had a menu. Thursday had a menu. Every day had a certain menu. I knew what I was getting before I got there. They were already in their late 70s. And I was 18 years old. And they lived in a little 720-square-foot home, and they drove an old car at that point in time, but they had enough to feed me, and they never asked, and they were pillars in the church. Well, look at this. Let's go on. It's not all in gold. It's not in treasures, but it's in wealth beyond means of what He will provide for us in the heavenly places is what I'm talking about that. The reason I told you that story. The Lord possessed me. The Lord possessed me being wisdom, at the beginning of His way. Before He worked His works of old. I love this passage. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hill was brought forth, while He had not yet made the earth, not yet made the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He inscribed the circle of the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when He set for the seas its boundaries, so that the waters should not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master workman, and I was daily His delight and rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the world, His earth, and having my delight in the sons of men, those who descended from Adam. Genesis chapter 1, Moses records that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, He created the heavens before He created the earth. He created His home before He created ours. Before He did anything with all of that, wisdom was with Him. Wisdom belongs to the Lord. Before He did all the works of old that He did to establish this earth and all that we had, He brought forth and possessed wisdom. It was a joy for wisdom to work with the Lord. Verse 32. Now, therefore, O sons, that's those men again, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Neglect is an important word there. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. Children of Adam, in other words, he's saying, blessed are you who diligently seek after me, follow my wisdom, and do not neglect the things I'm teaching you, the common things, the common sense things. In other words, those who have intensely desired the wisdom of the Lord, those are the ones who are going to be wise. To obtain her wisdom is a daily task. It's not something that you can just do and get on Sunday mornings. You need to be watching her, listening to her every single day. Verse 35 says, for he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Wisdom promises life and favor of the Lord for everyone who finds her. She is not speaking about life here on earth. She is speaking about eternal life. What better favor from the Lord is there for him to give us eternal life with him? But look what she turns around and says at the end, verse 36. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Wisdom indicates that there are people in this world who sin against her purposefully. These people who sin against her are actually injuring themselves. Oh, they may not think they're injuring themselves here on earth, but they are injuring themselves primarily because of their eternity. Sinning against wisdom means that that person hates wisdom. And it is an attitude that has deadly consequences. We know there's deadly consequences in it because the Apostle Paul comes along later and says, for the wages of sin is death, but the favor or gift of God is what? Eternal life. What a difference the two sides have. You're coming up to the heights. It's the place to choose in the fork of the road to go towards wisdom or to go towards folly. And one takes you to eternal life and the other takes you to eternal death. One takes you to the presence of the Lord and the other takes you out of the presence of the Lord forever. And there are people on this earth who make that choice to do such a thing as reject the right road to go on. And they choose the road of folly, seeking what is good for them today instead of what is good for all eternity. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words today. They are meaningful for us. May we hide them in our heart that we may not sin against you. And may we seek after your wisdom intensely every day. In your name, amen and amen.